Three-time Academy Award winner Daniel Day-Lewis stars in Phantom Thread.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat.
From critically acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments.
The Guardian calls it pure delicious pleasure. 5 stars.
Coins, words, little messages. Things that only I knew were there.
It's hypnotically beautiful and impossible to forget.
Secrets.
Phantom Thread. In cinemas now.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grant hopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Browns. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast. And here I am with Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender, who's also handsome, gorgeous, and a very touchingly sweet friend to me. Hello, Ben.
Oh, well, hello there, Ronnie. That was so lovely. What a nice introduction on a fair Friday afternoon.
Wasn't that the nicest thing you ever heard in your life, Ben?
It was like so nice. It was beyond nice. It was like the perfect way to set up this Friday, because this is a joyous, joyous day, because not only is it Friday, but, you know, people are celebrating their birthdays. People like Jill Nail is celebrating her birthday. And Nicole Satire, she turned 40 today. I mean, what a day to be alive.
Well,
what a
day to be podcasting. Happy birthdays.
Yeah, between Jill and Nicole, it's like, everyone calm down with the babies, all right? Because we have a lot of birthdays.
Yeah, makes me want to go buy something. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Holly McCabe for sending us beautiful little presents, you little sweetheart from Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, and I think she was from Mississippi, but, you know, who knows. But you know what, though? I just want to circle back to our birthday ladies and give them the birthday treat that they deserve.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And this is what they sound like at home. This is what they sound like at home.
How everyone greets their car dealer.
I'm going to play the hell out. I'm just never going to stop playing those 2 clips. Just over and over and over again.
Do I sound okay in this microphone? Because Skype is like, there's a Yeti stereo microphone detected. Start using this device. Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, then that's all that matters, you stupid Skype. Stop trying to freak me out on a podcast day, you dumb Skype.
You dumb Skype. I mean, what an exciting time for this podcast. WatchWhatCrappens.com is where you go to get, you know, follow us on social medias. Obs. It's also where you get tickets to our live shows. We got Houston coming up. Ronnie and I have just been in the thick of booking our hotels and stuff in Houston and Detroit. Those are our March shows, Houston and Detroit. Come
and
buy your tickets,
DC
okay?
DC is right after. It's the very beginning of April.
I know, but DC is sold out, so we don't have to bother people with Shillingford.
Oh, okay. Well, the other ones, go to them. Houston is going to be Dinner Party from Hell, so that's going to be amazing. And we'll have a Tontador to be giving away. So that's going to be a super fun one. Also, we've got merch, t-shirts, coffee mugs, all that good stuff. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. It's all there on the page, darling. There's a calendar.
Yeah.
There's a merch link.
It's going to be great. We're excited for both Houston and Detroit. Detroit, as no one says it. So that's going to be exciting. You know, and before we jump into Top Chef, I have some things I just want to say about other TV shows I've been watching in the past 24 hours. First, this sort of has a remote link to our podcast, to Bravo. So I feel like we can talk about it for like a second. Celebrity Big Brother, have you watched?
No, I have not watched. And you know what? It's, of course, I love Big Brother, but I didn't know it was starting, and then it started. And then I pressed record on the thing, and it's like 3 episodes or some shit already. Is it every day? Because no, okay? No.
It's been 2 episodes. It's so good.
It's been every day, and it's on tonight, too.
Yeah, tonight's a 2-hour episode. But so far, it's been really good. Of course, the connection is Brandi Glanville, former Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, was on it. So it's just barely fits under our Crappens umbrella. We're not going to be recapping it necessarily. We'll probably keep tabs on it. It's only going to be a 3-week season. But I'm really into it so far. I love Big Brother, but it's good. It's really good.
Okay, I'll check it out over the weekend, whatever. I did watch Altered Carbon on Netflix. I watched the first one of those. It's like the new Netflix show, and that's pretty good. It's the guy from The Killing and House of Cards, like that hot guy
who
talks really funny, and so I can't tell if he's a terrible actor or not, but he's so cute, and like he's so dumb-looking, and it's kind of like Blade Runner. He's like, I don't know if I want to be like a sci-fi detective, but you know what, I'm going to. And I'm like, okay, is that an accent? Is that a white person dumb person accent? I don't know how he's talking, but I'm into it.
There was like a little bit of Alexia Echeverra in there.
That's how we talk.
Like, I don't know, like, oh well, you know, Peter, he's like been reanimated and like he's Altered Carbon, but he's also an artist, so
Peter, like, his body's great, but his sleeve is better, you know, he could change his sleeve. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, like, he only hit the taxi because he was in a different sleeve, you know? He's, like, a rapper, but, like, he's also an artist and, like, Altered Carbon. I don't even know what it's about, but either way.
Can we get a rapper with a better sleeve? Because, you know, Peter.
Oh, well, you know, Peter. I watched something on Netflix, too, which has more to do with our podcast. I watched the first episode of the reboot of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. A seminal Bravo show that we also advertised.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. It's funny how it's different. It's funny how gayness has changed since that show first came out.
Is it funny or is it queer?
It's actually still funny. But what's hilarious is that the original Fab Five, they would be like nuns compared to these guys. There's the hair guy, he has his long hair, he's like stylist or whatever. Or personal hygiene, hair care, skin care, whatever. He is like, yes. Oh my God, girl. Oh, she is dry and she is long, talking about the guy's beard. Like he's so over the top. And at first I was like, oh my God. But then of course I grew to love him. And they're all
he's the guy from Game of Thrones.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's hilarious. Those videos are historical.
Yeah, he is
historical and hysterical. Okay.
Because at first I was like, okay, this is too extra, you're trying too hard. But then I was like, no, he's actually, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Karamo is on it, formerly of Real World Philadelphia and, like, general gayness. And he's good. He's, like, you know, on the Real World Philadelphia, which, of course, was, like, 16 years ago or 17 years ago, he was very sullen, which may have been part of just being on the Real World and MTV and being younger, but he was very vibrant and had a lot of like personality and warmth, which was nice.
Show they're like, be gayer, come on, we're gonna take that again. I need all of you to just be way gayer. Okay,
yeah.
Let's reroll it.
He gets stuck in that weird role. He's the culture, which I was thinking, like, maybe this will be more defined than when J. Rodriguez was on it. Because I remember J. Rodriguez, he didn't really have a role. He was just, like, pretty and would just sort of fill in the gaps. My only memory, the only thing I remember J. Rodriguez saying that was semi-useful was he was like, hey, do you have a sticker on your CD? Because remember when you'd buy CDs and they don't have that sticker, you know? You know the sticker? So you couldn't open the CD thing. You had to take the sticker off. He's like, just find a table and scrape it along the table. The sticker comes right off where, you know. And I swear to God,
that's
that
so gay to think that, like, you're the only person who knows that. Like, here's what a gay person's going to teach you. How to get off a CD sticker. Come on, gay people. Raise the gay, Jay.
And by the way, I've used that trick so many times that it never works. And every single time I'm like, fucking J. Rodriguez.
Well, mine was the grooming guy, because the grooming guy on that one, who was like the cute one or whatever, he's like, okay, guys, when you shave, it's very important that you shave in the direction that your hair goes. Okay?
Yeah.
So you shave down. Who does that? You don't get any of your face clean if you do that. You do that first, and then you shave against
the
other
way,
so you get it fucking clean. I was like, how does this guy not know how to shave? It's the gay. And he's like, be careful of your face. I'm like, if I shave like you, my hair's going all different directions. I cannot do that. It would make me fucking crazy, that advice.
I seem to remember him saying you go in your direction of your hair, and then you do the second pass, you go up.
That's the gay remind. Trust me. I may not remember many things, but I watched every episode of that, and I would throw something at the TV every time he said it.
Well, this one, the home decor guy, he was good. Like, he did a really nice job in this guy's apartment. The fashion gay, his name is Tan. I have some concerns. First of all, he has an adorable, it sounds like a Liverpoolian accent. He's like, now is the time when we're going to go through your closet. We're going to see a lot of good ops. It's like weird because it's like Liverpool, but something else in there. But his choices, I question. There was a black suit that looked kind of frumpy to me. And then there was an age inappropriate layering situation with like a t-shirt and like it looked almost like a Aeropostal like short sleeve button down t-shirt open over it. I was like, and this guy was like 60, so. But
yeah,
that being
I'm not
said,
ever sure. I'm not really ever sure, and it's really hard, I think, in this time to bring Queer Eye back, because straight guys already are kind of gay guys, like. There's not as wide as a line, especially when it comes to fashion, because like straight guys now are like, let's wear really tight suit pants that are short, that are too short, you know, like what do they call those? Like you expecting a flood, like when you're a kid, but high waters,
waiters.
I think they're called high waters. Capri
pants.
That's what we capris. Yeah. Cigarette pants, whatever, as you will. So they're already kind of dressing like that. So sometimes I think the old show used to be like, hey, guess what, straight guy? Take a shower and put on some deodorant once in a while, and your girlfriend will make out with you more. And then they did, and then they got a scented candle for the living room, and the girlfriend would cry and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what world you're living in, Ronnie, because there are a lot of straight guys who need a lot of assistance. And there are a lot of gay guys who need assistance, too. Yeah, you're like, honestly, everyone dresses well these days. I'm like, you're in West Hollywood, okay?
Well, I mean, but see, the gays have gone the other way, because now we've got gays like me who wear Crocs and socks and Old Navy everywhere. And so it's like, oh, no, now we need Queer Eye for the queer guy, or metrosexual guy for the sloppy gay guy or whatever.
Just go to Vegas, Ronnie, and you're gonna reverse your tune, okay? You're gonna see a lot of golf polos being worn as formal wear. So, like, you know, it's just, don't worry, there's still plenty of straight men that need a fix-in. Anyway, I thought the show was good, and it was interesting because it had a sort of a different look to it, and since it was Netflix, you could hear them curse, you know, like the guy was like, holy shit, fuck, like all the time, and it was kind of cool. So I recommend it. It was actually really sweet, and I'm gonna watch the other episodes.
Well, look at all that. Look at all that TV we watch. That means we're having very productive times in our lives. Yes, I'm looking at the cast right now. Tom France. He's like, hello, my name's Tom France. I've got black hair and gray hair.
Yeah, Tan, isn't it? His name is
Tan France. What was I calling him, Tom?
Tom.
Tom France, that's what
this
you'd like to
Tan
call me.
France.
I'm Tan France.
Yeah, I.
What if Tan goes out of style, And then, then he can't suggest wearing tan to anybody.
I wonder if tan is a bottom or a taupe. Get it. Get it! All right, let's move on. Speaking of taupe, taupe chef. We're here to talk taupe chef today. Because as long as we're talking about, you know, the icons of Bravo, Queer Eye begat Project Runway, begat Top Chef. So Top Chef is still surviving on, and Project Runway is still surviving too, just elsewhere.
There are no queer eyes for Bruce, okay? Bruce is still just shuffling along. He still hadn't combed his damn hair, washed it. I smell him from here.
Yeah.
And he opens this episode, and he's doing that thing. The two older chefs, Bruce and the Amish guy, Amish Chris, they're like, hey, guys, here's my advice for the young people. Like, every time they go back to the stew room, they're like, guys, you know, sometimes you steam things and sometimes you fry them. But, you know, if it's not spiced right, it's like, okay, old people, shut up. Nobody asked you. You don't get to talk just because you're old. So Bruce starts and he's like, guys, it never gets easier. It's only going to get harder. Well, thanks.
Great. Thanks
for clarifying, Bruce.
He says this thing that was so obnoxious. He goes, he's like, you know, I've been cooking for a lot longer than most of the chefs here. And like, people may think that gives me an advantage or something. But the truth is, they don't realize that it's intimidating for me that I'm not doing better. Shut up.
Yeah.
He's like, you're intimidated by your own failures. No.
He's like, I can't win anything and my hair won't rinse clean. So
I thought
it's hard. Yeah.
I thought he was going to say, no, I'm intimidated by them because they're young and they're fresh and they have outside the box ideas and they have more energy. But he's like, you don't understand how intimidating it is for me to make mistakes like this. Like this is how horrifying that I'm not doing as well as I should be doing.
Yeah.
Shut up, Bruce.
Say it every time that Bruce, I feel like I should like Bruce, but I just can't. Like, he makes me crazy and everything he says pisses me off. And last week when, you know, he was partnering with Fatima for the Super Bowl, whatever, he told us a million times, I don't know about nachos. How do I fit into that?
You know,
or regular clothes or whatever. And then this time he's like, you know, Fatima, she sure biffed it on those nachos. It's like, I told her with my tone. Your tone doesn't fucking count, Bruce. You're helpless, you know?
Yeah, you said that they were good nachos. You misled her.
Yeah. And then you've got Luigi, my other favorite over there. He's like, you know what? My dishes have been pretty much sucking. Every challenge. But, you know, it's because I'm just not being me. No, it's not. Yeah. You're being you.
You are being you. You are, like, arranging your crystals and foraging for, you know, chrysanthemums or something. And it's annoying. It's annoying at this point. Yeah, with a handlebar mustache.
Yes, gross. So that's pretty much where everyone's at the beginning. Amish Chris is like, my dreams, my what? It's a, one, the Super Bowl. And two, I want to have the first Michelin star for soul food. I'm going to break through that mac and cheese ceiling.
Yeah.
Push through. He talks so slow. I'm like, get a fire under your ass, Amish Chris. Come on.
Yeah, as soon as he said that, I was like, he's going home. Although, you know, we will soon see how that turns out. But then it's like 11:21 p.m. and Adrian, a.k.a. La Bernadette, is sitting on something, probably a chair. That's what we normally sit on. And she's journaling and she's like, you know, She's like, every single thing I do, I journal. I want to make sure I get everything right. I take a note on everything. If it needs more acid, I add more acid. If it needs more salt, I add more salt. It's all in here in my book, my little black book of details.
Dear Diary.
And La Bernadette. Dear Diary.
Dear Diary, today I realized acid. That's what I realized today. Dear Diary. It's like the most bored diary ever. It's like, did that diary just fall asleep? That diary has eye boogers, okay?
It's like the diary of two Frank. Like, really, can't you add something more?
Dear Diary, the Germans are coming, and I really want them to like my spice.
How could you?
He's getting Siggy Flickers.
I really want to win a challenge. Yeah, so her whole thing is that she's journaling because she's taking notes. She just really, really wants to win a challenge. She's only won one quick fire. Everyone else has won elimination challenges. So at this point, I think that they're setting her up to either have a big win today or she's going home. So that's what they're setting up with her.
Well, my big note at the end of all this opening stuff, I was like, these chefs all hate themselves and are all insecure and miserable, which I love in a cast, you know? I hate when people have too much self-confidence. It means they're not paying attention and they're delusional. Any human being on the earth should have a mixture of self-confidence and pride and self-love and also self-hatred and disgust and disappointment in themselves because we are, after all, disgusting human beings, okay? It's how you're born. Yeah. So I love when a chef is just like, I suck, I hate myself, I'm going to lose. I'm like, okay, now you're being real, people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We saw Carrie talking to her dad, who has early signs of dementia, so that's sad. He needs pants. And then they all...
Alzheimer's, yeah. He's like, she's like, are you okay? he has like this sort of Alzheimer's or dementia, I forgot which.
A little bit of both.
But, you know, I can tell he's proud of me because he wants to put on pants. It's been a long time since he's wanted to put on pants. And, you know, I can empathize with that.
You know, I think anyone, dementia or not, when you put on pants for someone, that shows effort. That's like you want to support someone if you put on your pants.
Girl, I'm never putting on my – I'd never want to put on pants, okay?
I'm in gym shorts right now.
I'm in the same shorts I was in when I saw you yesterday. Still in those shorts.
God bless. So now they all pile into their cars to go driving to the Top Chef kitchen. But they're not in the right lane. Are they headed to Boulder? No, they're headed to the Stanley Hotel, which is where Stephen King spent the night once and had a nightmare and was inspired to do The Shining.
Yeah. When they said, we're in the wrong lane. We're in the wrong lane. Oh, my God. I was like, they're going head on into traffic. Like,
that's what I thought. I was like, oh, shit. I thought they were like they were like on the wrong side of the highway. Like, shit, Top Chef just got real.
Shortest season ever.
So then they show up at this hotel and Padma's there. She's like, good morning.
Even more Padma than usual because they're in the Stanley Hotel. So she's like, good morning, chefs.
Yeah,
this
the music's
is
all
the
like,
last quick fire before finals. Stephen King has been naked here.
Yeah, they're adding all these sound effects, and they're, like, really committed to making this seem scary because they have, like, it's not just they do, like, a little bit of scary. They do, like, this entire segment, they have scary music playing, and it's kind of, like, excessive and ridiculous. But it was worth it for later on when there was a – well, we'll get to it.
Padma
but anyways,
is kind of terrifying when she's alone like that. And they're like, yeah. Padma, talk even more slowly. It's like, oh, my God, what is she going to do? I feel because she got really into this gore challenge, you know?
She did. She's like, I'd like to introduce to you a special guest to judge your quick fires with me. Air. Get it?
I'll be judging in the room where Steven had his nightmare. The twins will both be Gail. Just be one Gail, but with too much.
Gail once said her greatest nightmare was watching the blood come down those staircases, but then she said her greatest dream would be wishing it was just Kool-Aid, and she was just at the end of it with her mouth open, just funneling in all that Kool-Aid coming down the stairs. Bless her heart.
Stephen King's worst nightmare, the Stanley Hotel. Gail's worst nightmare, an empty fridge. Am I right, Gail?
All work, no play, make Gail a very hungry girl. Trust me. Bless her heart.
Red rum. She literally drank all the red rum. The Shining would never end if Gail was the star.
Last night, I opened up a can of peas, and Gail broke through with an axe and said, here's Gail. I was like, Gail, you have to stop. Nevertheless, she ate the peas.
There was no axe big enough to make a hole large enough for Gail's face in that doorway.
Dana Cowan, formerly of Food & Wine magazine, came rushing over here in the middle of the night because she heard Gail's mental distress alarm. She's dead now.
So Carrie's like, oh my God, Shining, what a scary movie. Remember that part where it was a ball and there was champagne and caviar? Terrifying. Maybe you should describe that scene more. It's like the most normal, lovely things are scary to Carrie.
That was truly the most boring scene in the entire movie. It was a big cocktail party that went on forever and ever and wound up with Jack Nicholson in a bathroom talking to like a ghost butler. Like, it was like the least scary moment. It was like, that was the boring moment.
She's like,
but I like
when she brought that butler pants.
But I like, so Padma's like, she's like, Well, so welcome to this hotel. This is the hotel where Stephen King spent the night, and the events that happened that night led to one of his worst nightmares of his life. It was Gail serving him a plate of half-eaten Tostitos. Horrifying. Bless his heart for going through that.
So they're going to have to make dessert today, and Carrie is hilarious because it has to be something scary. So Carrie's like, well, you know, I don't like scary movies. I dream in detail, though. Last night I dreamt about tater tots covered in pine nuts stuffed with jam. Carrie, that please is... win this entire fucking thing. I'm in love with Carrie now.
I know. I love her. And Padma goes, I want to see you visualize whatever your worst nightmare is on a plate. For instance, mine is Gail near a bag of red vines. Go.
So let's see here. Carrie, LaBerna, yeah, Dance, she's like, I wrote in my journal, pastry. It's where he started. Blood, cuts, cocoa ice cream, granita. It's going to be a ground with the forest, and then you step on it, and then blood seeps up. I'm like, you know it's going to be a piece of fish with some sugar on it.
I thought nothing could be scarier than if you cut into some red snapper, and then a lovely beet juice comes out from below. It's like blood, like you're walking in a snapper forest, and blood comes out. I thought that's a very scary thing.
Joe Sasta. It's like that time that Gail ate a Coke bottle. Am I right, Gail?
I always think forests are hilarious, mainly because we always trick Gail into walking into them. We say, Gail, there's a Taco Bell in the woods. Go. It's so funny.
Poor Gail. Bless her heart. I like that Padma's just keeping Gail around as her fat ghost. And by the way, have to say this every time. Gail is so tiny and not fat at all.
She's not fat.
Made up that Padma hates her and is always making weight jokes.
Yeah, we don't even think that Padma hates Gail in real life. We just like to have this fan fiction here. We just go with it.
It's been a very sensitive week for women body issues on Bravo, so please don't think we're wading into that pool.
Okay. No, we are definitely not. So Joe Sasta...
a fake fat pool, okay? So just sit back and enjoy yourself.
So Joe Sasto, Luigi, handlebar mustache, he's like, my nightmare is, what if there's like chicken in the egg when you crack open the egg? That's my nightmare. I'm like, I mean, like it's gross, but like, haven't you ever taken like science? Isn't there like a biology experiment where you like actually do that? It's like not that terrifying. It's just alarming.
My worst nightmare is having to pay for supplies instead of stealing them from fields with my hippie ass girlfriend. Okay, that's my worst nightmare. It's a checkout line.
Yeah. Okay?
So LaBernadan and Luigi are both making meringue, but he doesn't know how long to bake it, and so he keeps asking her. And I'm like, you know, you've got a lot of fucking nerve for being the one who didn't tell Fat Joe that other chef is always trying to make whatever
baking.
He made.
Yes,
kicked off. You jerk.
The cauliflower risotto. Yeah, you jerk. Mr. Handlebar, how about you ride your handlebar bicycle into a cookbook store and read something about how to cook a meringue instead of bothering LaBerna Dan about it?
Yeah, jerk.
So then Amish Chris, who's not Amish, by the way, for the record. And by the way, another correction. Last week, I said that Adam Perry Lang did Franklin Barbecue in Austin. That is incorrect. He did not do it. He's just a pit master. So apologies. Anyway, so Chris, he's like, well, my nightmare is I'm going to show like a hiker who fell off a cliff into some rocks and his guts were everywhere. I was like, that's very literal. And it's like, you know, it's like the nightmare. I feel like, can't you elevate it? Like, it doesn't have to look like the topping of some really bad kid's cake.
Yeah. He's like, I did pastries and my friends used to give me these nicknames like Mr. Sweet, Mr. Pastry, Marzipan Face. Ice cream butt, soft serve poo-poo dropper. I was like, okay, enough, Amish Chris. Okay, that's enough. Those are all the
Rembrole.
Worst nicknames.
Yeah.
No, that was way too creative. You just topped all of his friends. Creme brulee. Yeah. That's perfect.
Baking soda.
And then Bruce is like, my fears are drowning and falling off a cliff. I'm like, both of those things involve exercise, you know? To drown, you have to be swimming someplace. And to get up, fall off a cliff, you got to climb up one. I'm like, I'm with you, bitch. I may not like you very much, but that's my worst nightmare, too. It's like dying on a fucking, you know, weight machine or something.
Yeah. And so Bruce is like, I don't know. So he's going to make a panna cotta with pomegranate. I'm like, oh, that's terrifying. What a nightmare.
He's like, I don't know how to do drowning or falling off a cliff. I'm like, really? Because those are pretty easy. So he goes, I'm going to do a panna cotta, and I'm going to lie and say I was afraid of seeds.
It's like, it doesn't have to be about your fear. Just do a nightmare thing. Just do something like dark and scary. I mean, to me, the pinnacle of this always, I think it was it Paul from Top Chef, maybe Texas, when he did the blackened chicken leg for Charlize Theron in the Snow White Challenge. That was like the best, like the darkest, most evil plate of all time on Top Chef. That is the pinnacle. So when Bruce is sitting here saying he's going to make a panna cotta with pomegranate seeds, I'm like, come on now.
Yeah. Your worst fear is not making pasta, and you're doing it. So just say that, you know. My worst fear is having to make you something that's not, you know, pasta. The end.
Yeah. He's like, my greatest fear are long worms. Here, I made bucatini. Ah, shit, pasta. So my favorite part of this whole ridiculousness, I'm sure it was yours too, was then we see this, the camera's like floating through the hotel, and we hear this ethereal voiceover from Padma, and she goes, I believe in spirits. I do. I don't think of them as ghosts in the traditional horror movie sense, but I have been in rooms where I felt a certain presence or thick.
That was Salman Rushdie, okay?
Or a thickness in the air. And then I turn around and Gail's there. I'm like, Gail, why do you always startle me like that?
I felt like I was in a room with somebody, but it was just Gail's marzipan breath.
Sometimes I feel a warm sensation and I realize it's just Gail blowing French onion soup mix on my neck. Like, Gail, what are you doing?
So Padma's in the room alone, and it is terrifying because whenever Padma's alone, she's extra. And then now it's The Shining, and she's being extra on purpose. So she's like, yeah. Luigi brings in his bloody egg. And she's like, he goes, you know when you crack an egg and there's a dead chicken inside? And Padma smiles.
Yeah. But then she was like, ugh. Like, you realize I have to eat this now. Thanks.
I just wrote, she smiles and then says, I wanted more pizzazz. Did you mean to not serve me any razzle dazzle with your dead baby chicken?
So then Bruce is struggling with his thing, and he shows up with his plate for her, and she goes, wow, what is this?
And he's like, well, when I was a kid, I was afraid of seeds. And then she gives this look. I didn't know Padma could even give this screwy face look because, you know, she's got such a smooth, non-moving face. But she's like, if her face made a sound, it would have made that sound.
And she goes, is this semifreddo supposed to be served warm?
He's like, seeds, but seeds.
So I mean,
sorry.
It's practically a flan at this point. I mean, where's Gail when you need her, right? Do you feel a thickness in the room? That's Gail. Spirit of Gail. Oh, it's just your warm semifreddo. Apologies.
Could someone please caramelize some sugar to pour Gail into?
So then Chris,
make a flan. Could you tell? I started going through the whole flan process in my mind. And I have all the ingredients here at the house, which means I'll probably be making it today.
Oh, flan.
Flan.
Yeah. The Diary of Flan Frank. So Chris, I'm just going to, why not? Siggy Flicker. I'm just going to annoy Siggy Flicker today. So Chris, his rocks are made of chocolate cake, and he's made a little like cookie dough camper. It's like a stick figure. And then he covers everything with green stuff. He's like, yeah, there's the camper. These are the rocks. And that's the guts, the guts that are everywhere. I'm like, the green guts? Like, first of all, guts don't look green. Second of all, like, that does not try. It doesn't look like, nothing made sense. It looks so childlike.
He made like a literal little body. Which was so funny. He made like a little cookie body. And he goes, hopefully she'll get the gist. I was like, that's not a gist. Like a literal crazy plate. And she goes, come in, Chris. Quite a stunning plate. He's like, there's a marzipan dead man on there. Oh, he got pushed off this cliff into some green cream. And then he tried to get out, but there was a mac and cheese ceiling that he couldn't get through. So he drowned to death. And she's like, I love death. I love that Salmon has fallen into this cream and he doesn't have a prenup next to him.
I love your plate. It tells such a story. It's probably what Gail wishes she could do to me every time I outshine her with a dress. Poor thing. She needs a stylist.
That looks like Gail face down in cream. She's not dead. That's how she always looks.
One time I unwrapped an Almond Joy bar and she almost fell off a cliff herself. I was like, Gail, get it together. You'll get one too.
Gail one time fell off a cliff bar. So Laverna Dan is next and she's like, oh, I'm going to write about this in my journal. And Padma goes, ooh, sad. And Laverne and Dan's like, oh, it's like a forest and a beautifully eerie dream. Ooh, like she's all nervous.
I couldn't finish my meringue, so I just had to use pieces of meringues, which is good because it's like a fragmented nightmare, which is very, very scary. There's also some red snapper in there.
Thank you. So Carrie's like, oh my god, my panic cotta is way too tight, and I'm out of time. Oh my god, how's my dad gonna get pants right now? And she's kind of freaking out. And so Padma goes, again, for the second time in the show, Carrie comes in with these two little plasticky circles because she couldn't get anything plated. And Padma goes, wow.
And that's it. That's all she said.
Yeah.
And then Padma's like looking at this like over gelatined panna cotta, and she goes, well, it's a good thing nobody's going home for this quick fire. Talking about you, Carrie.
Wow. So the judging, she's like, Carrie, no wonder your father won't leave the house. You're terrible. Bruce, Seeds, that's ridiculous. Luigi wasn't gory enough, but decent, and at least he didn't steal this from a field this time. Amish Chris, I'm sorry you're drowning in mac and cheese.
Yeah. She goes, there were a couple of clunkers. I mean, I'm talking about Gail's outfits. The food was fine. She tells Adrian, she's like, you had the most graphic plate, and I love that.
And the winner is the cream cheese ceiling, Amish Chris. And then he says in the slowest way ever, he goes, my momentum is really picking up. You're slowing down, Chris. Chop, Chris. Come on, baby.
So for the elimination challenge, the chefs have to create a dish that tells their culinary story here on Top Chef. And they're going to be serving it at the governor's mansion to the governor himself, John Hickenlooper. So that's an exciting thing. And they'll go shopping, and they're shopping and talking about their experiences and handlebar mustaches. Like he wants to talk about his ups and his downs, and Bruce is like, well, I don't know what my culinary journey is. All I know is I can't make pasta this time.
That's literally been your culinary journey, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, find a way to represent walking extremely slowly across the kitchen and having other people do your work because you can't handle it all, okay?
Yeah. Bruce. Can you teleport two in to do the rest of your culinary journey? Because that's kind of what it's been.
Just get something greasy that can't be combed. Okay, yeah. That sweats. Okay, so Luigi's like, this is about my ups and my downs. Hee-hee! And then he's like, you know, my best criticism here. I was like, we know, Luigi. He mentions it every week. He's like, remember when that guy told me I had a big bag of tricks? Yeah! He read me like an open book. It's like, oh, good.
Well, so either way, I know, it's like a little, it's like we get it. Like, how many times do we have to see the German dude?
He sends it every single time, his bag of tricks. He was telling you, you suck, dude.
Yeah. So then they arrive in the kitchen, and Tom is there. He's like, hi, chefs. Hi. The food could use some work, and if I don't see a big improvement, I may bring back two people from Last Chance Kitchen. I'm like, Tom, don't try to, like, wow us with this twist. You already did it earlier in the season.
Yeah. He's like, I'm really mad. Whoa. Really pissed. Whoa. Yeah. Really, really furious.
So,
it's never a good sign when you see Tom. It's like when I was a kid and I did something bad and my mom would be standing on the corner of the street. I'm like, was she a hooker? Like, was she standing on the corner of the street with a fly swatter? Like, what are you talking about, Bruce?
She's like, Bruce broke the oven again, so gotta get that money. Hey, boys.
So, let's see. Luigi's making green pasta because he's Luigi, and his culinary journey is constantly being green. Because Mario's red, you know, the dominant color.
And you know,
Christmas.
He's always making dumplings. He's doing another stuffed pasta. So he needs to get a little more shit too, because he's made dumplings the past 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah. And he's like, so La Bernadette, are you taking risks? And she's like, in my journal, I just wrote game meat over and over again. Game meat, game meat, game meat. It's like, tam and meg. Like Red Rum. Is it scary? It's like, you don't
all
have
work,
to be scary now, okay?
All work, no play makes Adrian journal just more. It's just a great journal. It's like, oh, great. Worst horror movie of all time. But she's making monkfish, which, by the way, I didn't know Whole Foods even had monkfish.
By the way, they used to serve monkfish at this restaurant I used to work at, and it was delicious. And I looked
love
it up
monkfish.
Because, you know, you have to know what you're serving, obviously. I was a very good waiter, people. Yeah. And it's a terrifying fish. It looks like a fucking
disgusting
monster. I had no idea they were that big. I mean, that thing was fucking terrifying. And I've never seen anything like that at Whole Foods. So I don't know where they're shopping.
Yeah.
But
I once went to Seattle, and I went to Pike Place, the seafood market, and they had a big old monkfish just flopped over the side. Because I think whenever you see them, they're so big, they just flop them over the side, and they hold them up, and they're just like these big, disgusting fish, but they are so good. And you know what I always remember? Ted Allen, formerly of Queer Eye, he once said on one of the many food programs, maybe it was Top Chef, he's like, well, you know, monkfish is the poor man's lobster. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. It is like the poor man's lobster, and it is delicious.
Well, lobster used to be the poor man's lobster because it was like a cockroach of the sea.
That's
there,
right.
There you go, everybody who thinks you're so fancy eating lobster and paying so much money for it. That's what poor people used to have to eat because they look like little monsters in the sea.
Yeah. So Carrie, she's going to be doing a dish with pretty much all her greatest hits, but she's going to still make sure it's a very Colorado forward dish. So that's
whatever
exciting.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. She is like, here is a whole bunch of weed. So Chris is going to make an homage to his fellow chefs, which includes making ravioli, handmade ravioli for the first time ever. I'm like, dude, first of all, they're sick of pasta. Second of all, you've never done it before. Why would you do it? Obviously, Bruce is the best pasta guy. So why? Like, it's nice you're doing it to reference everyone. But if you want to like reference Bruce, why don't you just find a whole bunch of like seaweed and put mousse in it and stand it up on its edge? You know, like that would work.
Just put a couple of vanilla scoops of ice cream in a bowl and watch them melt really slowly, and grossly.
Just get a Mr. Potato Head figurine and also just put on the side of the plate as garnish.
And have two running around doing everything for it.
Yeah.
So the judges, okay, so now we're at the governor's house. Now, there's no Gail in this episode, which sucks. I was very pissed. Because it's almost over, guys. I need my Gail in every episode.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, who's the awkward woman going to be in terrible clothes? Well, thanks, governor, for marrying Mrs. Pickle Poo, the governor's wife. Pickledy Poops, or whatever her name is. Because she looked really awkward and terrified, and she was wearing like a totally Gale forward, if you will, shirt with like plastic jewel things encrusted on the front. And I was like, thank you, substitute Gale, thank you.
I thought you were gonna say the awkward lady was Graham Elliott, because he walks in again trying to be cool in Converse and this trying to do a look. I'm like, you're at the governor's mansion and everyone's dressed nicely and you're wearing Converse into the governor's mansion. I know you're trying to be like, hey, I'm Graham Elliott and I cook and I'm on TV, so here's my signature look. But sometimes you just gotta reel it in because you look like a buffoon.
Yeah, well, Graham's doing that thing where, you know, you lose some weight. Big people get it. Like, you lose weight and then you're like, oh my God, I'm hot. And it's like, maybe I lost 6 pounds, but I want to fuck the entire world, you know? It's like, you feel like Julia Roberts at all times. Feel like Pretty Woman Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's not good enough. I'm not hot enough yet. Maybe I'll lose some more weight and get vests that are tighter. And then I'm going to get an eyebrow wax. And I'm like, what are you doing, Graham? Okay? Stop.
He does sort of look like a lot of the Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother contestants rolled into one. Like, I'm seeing some Mark McGrath. I'm seeing some Ross Matthews. I'm seeing some Brandy Glanville. I'm not seeing Omarosa because obviously he's not black.
I'm seeing eyebrows. I'm seeing waxed eyebrows. And I just don't want to see that on you, Graham. So get rid of them, okay? You're not allowed. I don't know what gay is going to give you permission to do that or to not do that, but I'm a gay, and I'm saying no. No, Graham, no.
I honestly just want him to not wear Converse, the governor's mansion. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Well, what about that guy in the yellow jacket that matched his yellow teeth? That was so awkward. It was kind of like the grossest governor's dinner ever. And then the governor's like, hey, guys, I'm the governor. And he's making like dad jokes and stuff.
Yeah. The guy in the yellow jacket, it was weird because he looked like he had just been inducted to the Football Hall of Fame, because that's what they get. They get a yellow jacket. I'm like, sir, I don't think you've been playing football. Please don't wear the yellow jacket, you know?
Well, I love that Padma showed up in basically a pirate slip. It was like a slip. Her nipples were out. She looked just stunningly gorgeous. And she's like, hello, governor's wife, Gail. And the governor's wife just kind of like receded into herself. You just saw her shrink. You saw her soul shrinking behind her crusty, you know, plastic jewels. She was like,
Handlebars Luigi, he serves up some lamb agnolotti with beets and hazelnuts, and then I stopped writing down the rest of it because it changed off the screen and I wasn't too much.
They write so many things down. They're like, and then 3 grains of salt, and then 2 leaves of cilantro, and it's like, okay, we don't need every single thing in there. Okay, just say ravioli. How about that?
So they all really liked it, and they actually felt it was very restrained. It was the first time he's used restraint. So very positive notices on Joe's agnolotti.
And the governor's like, I'm going to keep you guys here forever if you don't watch out.
Vote for me in November. So Adrian, Labernadan, she served the aforementioned monkfish. So this to me was like the moment of truth. Either she was going to be totally terrible, which meant it was which is what the diary was setting us up for, that she notes everything down in the diary, but she's still going to go home, or she's going to be amazing and win.
They're like, how is monkfish Coloradian? And she's like, well, it has venison Jew. Like, okay. Tom's like, tasty. And one of the judges goes, I appreciated the capriciousness. I was like, okay, is that the right word that I just said? Capriciousness?
He did say capriciousness or something like that. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, you be quiet over there. And Padma was like, I have eyeliner like a cat.
She's like, have you ever seen a monkfish in real life? The way it just hangs over the edge of the seafood counter. It's like Gail sunbathing. Bless her heart. She needs some SPF 600, if you know what I'm saying.
So Carrie is like, oh, the people I've met, David Kinch, are you kidding me? Bye, pants. So she made elk, roasted cauliflower, and then I stopped writing.
Sort of blueberry reduction. I was like, okay, so this might be Carrie. I was like, I don't know how this all works together. And they were like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
This all worked together well. And by the way, I also want to say that when they said about Adrian's monkfish, they were like, I feel like Adrian's finally getting her voice. I feel like she's finally cooking her food instead of someone else's food. I think she's getting her voice. I was like, wait a second. Something's going on here. I think Adrian, she might be – that they might be now setting her up for like to go super far. You know,
I'm down for that.
Especially because we called it in the beginning.
I'm extremely behind a well-trained chef who like has to take all that and then actually become an artist.
And she's actually nice, and she's not like, yeah, being a chef saved me. I was living in a gutter, and I was on drugs, and I miss my baby, but I'm a chef, and I've got a mise en place as my tattoo to remind me to be ready. It's like, she's just like normal and nice and sweet.
Yeah, she's writing down like grains of salt in her diary. Like, I'm down. But Carrie's like, I'm a huge fan, Governor. Okay, here's what I learned about. On my journey, seasoning in my dad needs pants, which is what shaped like a wiener. Right? I was like, okay, Carrie, calm down over there. And Padme goes, this is the most intensely flavored non-pants wearing dish I've had from Gary.
I just can't believe you keep going back to the non-pants thing on her poor dad who has dementia and early stages of Alzheimer.
Because you know why? Because I understand that. I just, like, I get it on such a level where I'm like, well, I want pants, and then people are proud. They're like, Ronnie, it's like Ronnie's with us today. He's going to wear pants. Like, I get it. I'm proud.
So, her dish works. Everyone likes it. You know, Padma obviously liked it. They were all very, very happy. And then we have Bruce. And Bruce is having some barley issues because he toasted his barley. But it's not, he's like, it's not quite done yet, but he's hoping it's going to be done, etc. And he serves up roasted duck with toasted barley corn and salsify. How do you say it? Salsify? Salsify?
Salsify.
It's that thing. It's like a green, I think.
I don't know, but it was funny watching them all chew.
Yeah.
And Padma's like, how did you cook the barley? And he's like, well, I cooked it last night and then I toasted it. She goes, how long? It's like, uh-oh, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah. Bruce, are you aware of the recurring nightmare of losing your teeth? You realize that this is not the same challenge as yesterday, right?
I haven't seen anyone chew like this since I left a cow's head in Gail's bed.
I feel like Gail tackling an entire packet of Charleston chews right now. And you know she's doing it at this moment. That's why we couldn't have her at the governor's mansion.
The Charleston chew. So Grandma's like, this isn't the Bruce we know. This is uninspired. I'm like, this is the Bruce you know, fuckers, okay? I know you're trying to talk yourselves into believing Bruce is this thing because he's older and you all know him from, like, dinner parties or whatever. But he's made
dinner
pasta.
Parties. Yeah.
Okay.
And they all, their faces are miserable. They're like, ugh. So then Chris, we also know Chris is setting himself up for failure because he's doing this ravioli situation. And but his issue is actually more that, you know, as he's plating, he has this piece of fish and he has a lemon sauce and he has the ravioli on top and he puts the lemon sauce on top of the ravioli, whatever, and it starts to make the fish skin wet, which of course you want to have a crispy fish skin. And from what I've heard is that when the chefs serve their food on Top Chef, it's like a half an hour between when it leaves the kitchen and gets to the judges, because they have to like do like the glamour shots of the food and the judges have to be ready. So really probably what happened was the sauce went on, because you can sauce a fish that has crispy skin, but it probably was sitting there for like half an hour and got soggy.
Yeah, but at this point they should know that. It's like put it on the side, you know, drizzle it around the fish, you know?
Yeah. So,
but yeah,
so one
he was setting himself up, I think. So he's like, it's surf and turf. It's lamb ravioli and trout. And my inspiration is my relationship with the other chefs. So you'll notice that the lamb smiles way too much, and that's why we killed it. And Carrie's like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
So one of the guest judges is like, you know, the skin wasn't crispy, but I thought my trout was cooked really well. And Pama just goes, Like, I don't know who this person is. Should we get Gal back? Is she done with the Charleston chews?
And pardon me, Graham's like, you know, that filling was ridiculous. There was no binder. The guest judge got so mad because it was just lamb.
Yeah, dry.
It was just dry lamb. And Padma's like, that was drier than Gail on her wedding night. Send it back.
That was drier than a glass full of Quick without the milk. And you know that Gail has done that before. Bless her heart. She loves experimenting. But the funny part is they are like bashing this ravioli. They're bashing the filling for just being dry. And then you see Handlebars telling Chris, no, man, your filling was really great. That's going to be your saving grace. I'm like, shut up. Shut up, you. You don't know anything.
And Padma's like, well, thank you, Governor. Thank you, man with the yellow teeth and the odd jacket. Thank you for the little guy who likes using big words. And thank you, Phil and Gail.
Phil and Gail.
She's like, she's like shrinking to nothing. So over at the judges' table, Tom's like, well, more focus, you know, no nachos. So that was good, you know, the protein. Well, pretty good.
It was good. It was good. It's like a good meal. It's good. It's a Colorado meal. It's good. For it. So Carrie, Adrian, and Joe wind up on the top. And Padma, they're like talking to each of them, you know, before they announce who the winner is. And Padma turns to Laburna down and she goes, do you feel at all yet what your cooking style is like? I mean, how long do we have to wait? I mean, this is Top Chef, not mediocre. Just finding yourself. I worked at Bernadette Chef.
I like that they're making it like The Voice, you know, like she just has to find her artistic part. And then Laburna Dan, who obviously watches American Idol and The Voice and this kinds of shows, is like, well, I'm almost there. I just have 2 episodes more to go before I totally find it. And they're like, way to go, American Idol.
You've been saved. Carrie, did you have an idea of what you wanted to cook right away? Because it seemed like a mess. I mean, it was flavorful and all, but it was a mess.
She's like, well, it just came to me. And Tom goes, it did. It just walked over. The elk, it just walked over to her. It just came to her. And Carrie's like, yeah, I harvested it. Like, it's not as funny because you know that Carrie would. She'd just like grab an elk by the throat, cut it with a big smile on her face, and then just like serve it up.
She made an oven out of snow and baked a cheesecake in it. This lady can do anything. Let's never forget that. She baked a cheesecake in snow. We saw it happen.
Please win. Please win everything.
But the winner for right now is Handlebars. He wins for admittedly what looked like a delicious dish. So he wins, and all three of them are in the finals, which is going to be in Telluride. They're going to go to Telluride. And now it's time to look at the bottom two. And Padma just turns to Bruce and goes, Bruce, how is the day for you? Let me guess. Shitty.
Let me guess. You sweat a lot and didn't comb your hair, eh, Bruce? And Tom's like,
you look more miserable than Gail when she walks into a 7-Eleven and they're out of peanut butter cups.
So she's Tom's like, well, look, we're here for three reasons. Okay, Padma's boobs, cooking things right, and barley's undercooked, barley's oversalted, duck's overrested, Padma's nipples are great, they saved you, possibly. Yeah. And Graham's like, are we talking about my eyebrows yet? It's like, no, Graham.
Yeah, and then as for Chris's dish, Tom said that it's just no point of view. Yeah, it's like a lot of things like, you know what? Fish, lemon jam, stop. See what I did? It's like a joke. Like, don't put on the ravioli. Oh, that's all you have to do.
Hammer time.
Hammer time. You got to pray just to make it today on Top Chef. See what I did there?
And Amish is like, well, the pasta root was new for me. And she's like, Amish guy, push yourself like people in your old neighborhood would push carts to market. Okay? Don't make us vomit. We can do that on our own. And Tom's like, your POV's mixed up. Like, Amish, you know, soul food. I mean, I don't know. Cauliflower puree, that's heavy, you know? And then this beautiful citrus relish, lemon jam, fish, stop. Hammer time. Dun, 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 dun. Hammer time. Dun, 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 dun.
Stop. In the name of Top Chef.
So in alone time, Padma's like, I'm disgusted by everything.
I would rather eat Chris's fish any day than Bruce's duck.
I love when she gets furious at duck or like whatever it is. Like, she's so mad at duck right now, and I'm totally here for it.
Yeah, she is not having it. So then it's time to like drop the hammer. And, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is pretty obvious. You know, Chris is going home. He clearly messed up with that thing, and they all love Bruce. But shockingly, Padma turns and says, Bruce, I'm sorry. Please pack your knives and go. I was like, oh, my God. This is shocking.
He's like, I have a baby. I have a baby. Go, Bruce. Go, Bruce. Baby.
And Tom's like, well, too many mistakes today, but we'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen. I'm like, oh, I was like, relax, Tom. He just loves saying that. He says to everyone, he's like, I'll order a Big Mac, some fries, a large soda, and I'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen.
He is, because he's like, well, welcome to the show as it should be. Just me. Just me as the only chef, okay?
Just me.
It's me as the only judge. It's called Top Tom.
Needless to say, Bruce, I'm sure we'll be back. And Adrian, I feel like they're setting her up for maybe a big win. This whole thing about the diary and like this whole arc about her improving. Since that was not inserted to foreshadow her winning the elimination challenge, to me, it means it's foreshadowing something much larger. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm rooting for Carrie. I hope it's a two girl final.
Me too.
And that Carrie takes it. And I really like Liberta Dan. And I think she would be great to win too. I would be happy if she won too. But I just like Carrie because, I don't know, she's such a goofball and she's also so talented. And
yeah,
she makes me, you know, doesn't try to be a goofball. She just like naturally is a goofball. And so I like that, you know.
I also actually really like Chris. So I'm very happy with the three of them. And, you know, Handlebars, he annoys me. But actually, truth be told, he seems like a nice guy too.
I like Chris. Yeah, I like them all, actually, at this point. I mean, Luigi's annoying, but it's mostly, to be honest, the mustache. But he seems
sweet. Yeah, it's just the mustache. So that's it for Top Chef. Last week, we skipped the Crappens mailbag because we were just, I don't know, we were just in a place. So we promised we'd do a bigger mailbag. So let's get into the Crappens mailbag. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, the Crappens mailbag is a way for you to write in questions and comments, and then we will read them on the air. You just go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens, and you sign up to support the podcast at the Crappens mailbag level or higher, and you can submit your questions there. So some of these – and by the way, thank you so much for your patience, because I'm looking – some of these questions have been sitting here for 2 months. It's hard, you know, because there's the holidays, et cetera, and we're just trying to get our bearings. But thank you for being patient. We want to get through every question. So let's start with Ilsa Wolf, who says, if you could have any gallery girl join the cast of Real Housewives of New York City, which would it be? Did we do this question already?
Yeah, we've done that one.
Oh, that's so weird. Okay, well,
I would say Oregon Wine. She's my favorite because I like the ones that are just like really quiet. And also that girl, like, she kind of looks like our friend Malls.
Yeah.
And I would just love to see someone like Malls with that kind of personality who's like, shut up, you know, in the middle of all that craziness.
And then I think also we had said that we would have liked Liz to just walk around and be like, which Asians? That's on my painting.
Yes. Yeah, we've answered that one.
Mary Hardigan asks or says, a fight that involves Toya from Married to Medicine and Leanne from Real Housewives of Dallas. Let's start the fight off by Toya asking about masturbating versus cheating at one of Deandra's tea parties. And Deandra thought it was inappropriate, which riled up Toya, who then snapped at Deandra. I know Deandra can probably hold her own, but I want Leanne to jump in. Or make up your own reason for arguing, but I want to hear the two arguing. She's like, I'm going to set the scene. Or you can do your thing. Okay. Mary, since Mary put in time and effort in setting up the scene, basically, Deandra's been having a tea party.
I have a gavel right here, and if anybody says anything bad, I'm going to bang on this gavel, because we will not have that kind of talking in my house.
We're in America, though, so it's like free speech. Like, this is a place where anyone can be a drug cazar, so, like, what you should have did was said, do you want to speak right now or not? Because it's really not cool for you to be banging a hammer on a little square, and that square could be used for Eugene to masturbate onto, so I don't think that's nice.
You want to make an argument? It's about to be your closing argument. I'll tell you right that, okay? It is about to be your closing argument. You want to live long enough to make another argument? Stop talking about masturbation in my home!
Oh, wow. Suddenly I can't make an argument anymore? I can't make an argument? You're going to send me away in an ambulance? Is that what's going to happen now? What you should have did was been nicer to me, because Eugene masturbates too much, and I need him to have sex with me, and he's masturbating too much, and I don't need you, Deandra, to be talking to me like that with a gavel, okay?
Well, you know what I heard? I heard that your husband masturbates, and he uses his hands, and they work quite well.
That's half the problem, crazy lady. You got no. Your breath smells like dog breath. Okay, what you should do was take the certs. Okay.
What else is in that bag, Ben?
Catherine asked. Well, again, this was a question that was submitted 2 months ago. So apologies. So December, Catherine said, "Who would Krampus take away this year?" It's actually a great question. Who would Krampus take away?
Well, let's see. Ramona tried to be nice. Carol tried to be... Everyone was fairly nice on that show, on Real Housewives of New York. Beverly Hills hadn't started. Krampus would have taken away Brandy, I think, from Real Housewives of Dallas. Because Brandy really did come from not having any friends, ruining her best friendship.
Right.
Befriending the unpopular girl to use as a weapon against the other people, which she totally did, and then dumped her the second she got her friends back. And you know what? That is bad behavior, ma'am.
That is bad behavior. I think Krampus would actually head more towards New Jersey, because let's face it, there's a fine line between Kim D and Krampus. You know that Krampus is like, clink, clink, girls, clink, girls, clink, clink, girls. How are you? How are you? I heard things. Not what I heard. I heard you were a bad girl, Teresa. Krampus is coming to put you in a bag, take you down to hell.
Yeah, and since Krampus is probably mostly taking kids, you know, everyone on this show had that kind of behavior. They were throwing glasses at walls. They were throwing cake across restaurants. They were having sex in bathrooms. Everything that happened on Jersey this year was so wrong in so many ways that, yeah, I think the whole cast would just get taken.
I don't think, except the thing is that I don't think Krampus could survive with the New Jersey women. I think he would try to steal them or their children. and it would just be a massive failure. First, he would go to Siggy and be, you know, be like, hey, Siggy, I'm here to take you to the underworld. And Siggy would be like, oh, how could you do this, Krampus? I do have cramps. That's why I have pellets in my ass. The cramps are so hard.
That's all I wanted.
Who throws a sack of presents all across the floor, Krampus? Ask me, answer me that. And Krampus is like, okay.
Ooh. All right, what else is in that mailbag, B?
Mary Ahango says, on Vanderpump Rules, Faith gave us a glorious gift with her confession about Jax. Obviously Krampus will take away Jax. on Vanderpump Rules, Faith gave us a glorious gift with her confession about Jax. What would each of the Vanderpump Rules casts, what would you give each of the Vanderpump Rules cast members for the holidays?
Pasta. Really? I mean, especially, yeah. At this point, just give them all pasta. Obviously not cocaine, because that's really expensive. Yeah. But I would just give them actual boxes of pasta and be like, okay, I want to see you eat it now. Because nobody believes that you're really eating this much pasta. So let's see it.
Yeah, maybe a book by Ta-Nehisi Coates, but pasta for sure. And then, like, maybe
I would give Katie some cover-up for her arm, or maybe, like, some wristband so she could hide that leprosy arm from the nanny.
Mr. Sheffield,
I'd give Lala some, I don't know what I can give Lala. What can you give the girl who already has it all? She already has a Range Rover. I just can't add on to that. Just pasta. Just give her pasta.
All she really asked for the holidays was her mama.
Yeah. And then here's one from Allison King, because might as well try to get all the holiday ones out of the way before it's like just totally ridiculous. They were doing the holiday themed ones. Allison says, what are you asking Santa for this year? What do you think Bravo celebrities are asking for? So, What are you asking for Santa? What in 2018? We'll think ahead. What are you asking Santa for, Ronnie?
Really just my health. LOL, just kidding. I think I would ask Santa. You know what? I really am one of those people that's very difficult to get anything for because I don't care about expensive shit. Like, I ride a Vespa, okay? Got that. Yeah. I finally got like an actual Vespa instead of a scooter. So got that. I have a big TV. I have cable. I have Netflix. I have a Nintendo Switch, which we got this year for Christmas from a lovely listener. Yeah. I think that's really it. I mean, I have Bueller and a Domino's basic subscription. I mean, what else do I need in life, you know? Very easy. Yeah.
For Christmas, I'm asking for cameras to have been there while Luann was arrested. I'm asking for probably a 45-episode order for Real Housewives of New York. I'm asking for cameras to be in rehab. I'm asking for, all rehabs, but specifically Luann's rehab. I'm asking for a season that never ends for New York. I'm asking for Vanderpump Rules to just keep on going in perpetuity. I'm asking for another cheating scandal there. I'd love another gay scandal on Vanderpump Rules. For Christmas, I'm asking for Princesses Long Island to suddenly come back out of nowhere. I'm asking for Game of Crowns to be resurrected. I want Krampus to give us back our Game of Crowns. Krampus could also give us back some Secrets and Wives and some Gallery Girls if Krampus was feeling it, but I understand if that's too much to ask for. And I'm asking for our podcast to just keep growing and being wonderful and for to be able to see all the shining, smiling people out there at our live shows.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, a good 10. Jesus.
And more board games. Always more board games.
Yeah. That was good.
I already have. Every single day I'm like, well, I don't need any more board games. I don't need to buy any more. This is fine. I already have plenty. I have my collection. I'll just go and play those and get to know them more and more and more. And then the next day I'm like, Amazon cart, in the cart. Just go in the cart.
What else is on there?
There's plenty more, but we will get back to that next week. We promise. And you guys have a wonderful weekend. Go buy tickets at Krappens.com, watchakrappens.com. For our live shows. Houston and Detroit are our March shows. Those have tickets available. Help us sell those out. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be talking Dinner Party from Hell from Real Houses of Beverly Hills in Houston. We don't know what we're going to talk about in Detroit just yet, but we always have a good time. Even if we talk about like carpets, we'll have a good time. So, but we promise we won't talk about just carpets.
Yes. And to find out what we're talking about, you can just come to our Facebook. There's a Facebook group called Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It. It's linked from our regular Facebook group on Watch What Crappens, or regular Facebook page.
Facebook.com/yeah.
So go there, and we'll start announcing them usually like a week before the shows, because we don't really know until we see the schedule for that week, because you never know on Bravo. Things can just change, y'all.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the Watch What Crappens Live and Lovin' It group, that group has been made to for all live stuff. So announcements, if you want to coordinate with other listeners, if you're afraid that you're going to be going, you want to go to the show, but you're going solo, a lot of people do that and they meet up beforehand. All that stuff gets arranged on that site. So go use it as a resource. God bless and have a good time. Okay?
Okay, everybody. Bye. Okay?
Bye. Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Mark Riley, a broadcaster for almost 30 years and also a musician for much longer than that.
And I'm Rob Hughes, seasoned music journalist for 18 years and an unseasoned broadcaster for 1.5 decades.
And the two things we have in common are, well, one is that we're both thrilled to be sponsored by Bose, and two is our love of David Bowie.
And with that in mind, we set about plotting an A to Z of the object of our admiration.
Now, the thing is, I thought I knew nearly everything there was to know about David Bowie.
But you didn't, did you?
I didn't. I didn't know he nearly made a record with Christopher Lee, also known as Dracula.
I didn't know that. And I didn't know he met the Queen as a little boy.
I didn't know that. So it's been a learning curve for both of us.
As you will hear, if you download our A to Z of David Bowie, which will be released weekly in the early hours of a Tuesday morning.
That's the plan. As a series of how many episodes, Rob?
We don't know yet.
Intriguing.
It's a labour of love, Mark.
Indeed.
And a place where you can hear us rattle on about David.
A bit like this.
Hello, are you the new butler?
Huh, I'm Bing.
You're the one that sings, right?
Bo-bo-bo. Be gone, son. Get off with Davy Bowie.
Yeah, he was an arty type, wasn't he, Owen Frampton? So, 1962, Bowie's playing at Chislehurst Caves nearby with his first band, the Conrads, which we'll go into detail later on.
Is that really what I sound like?
It is, Bob, yeah. And then Bose come along and choose us to be part of their Recommend series.
Which is ace.
So thanks to Bose for helping us achieve this landmark series in podcasting.
Steady on, mate.
And you can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favourite podcast app.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favourite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts in even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.